Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Ephesians 2:11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Would you pray with me? Lord, may this message be your words for your glory, for the hearts and minds of all those gathered in person and remotely. Amen. I'm Eric Gray, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Disciples Foundation, attorney, chartered advisor in philanthropy, husband, male, white, father, grandfather, and many more identities, including Gentile. Of course, a Gentile is just anyone who isn't a Jew. And we hear about the Gentiles and the Jews in the scripture this morning. We hear that the walls of hostility between Jews and Gentiles have been broken down by Christ. The Bible is filled with references to building. In the scripture this morning, however, we hear about the peace of Christ breaking down walls. Walls that divide Jew and Gentile, walls of identity and hostility that had been built to keep people apart. But now Jew and Gentile have been reconciled to God and to each other through the sacrifice of Christ. and they have become one body in Christ. The dividing walls have been broken down so that a new temple can be built with Christ at the cornerstone, holding it all together with a foundation built upon the saints and the prophets. Jew and Gentile are built together spiritually in this temple of God. They are not Jewish Christians. They are not Gentile Christians. They are Christians. This was the early church. This is also us. We each have our own identity, but we are reconciled to God and to each other through Jesus Christ. We are built up by the saints and prophets that have come before us, and we are to continue that work, building the church spiritually as a dwelling place for God. If you asked one of the early Jewish Christians whether they were Jewish, they most assuredly would tell you they were still Jewish. Likewise with the Gentiles. Both groups retained their identity, but they acquired a new and superseding identity in Christ. They didn't cease to be who they were. They were reconciled to each other. They were reconciled, yet the Jews continued to practice Jewish customs, but they didn't force those customs on the Gentiles. Both groups recognized their common spiritual connection through Christ. They were all just Christians, and their common identity was as citizens of the household of God. Today, we live in a very divided world. We live in a time of labels and identity. We've always identified ourselves in some way by race, gender, orientation, political affiliation, religious denomination, school attended, employment, and in 100 other ways. But there's a heresy here, and it's gaining ground, but it was existing in the early church, as you can see from the scripture passage this morning. And that heresy I will call adjective Christianity. Using a word before the word Christian or using Christian to modify a word to limit or modify our Christianity. Defining ourselves by characteristics other than our identity in Christ. In the early church, it was Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Today, the adjective before or after Christian could be just about anything. And the danger of adjective Christianity is that adjectives can diminish the word being modified. It limits Christianity and redefines what identity is most important. It says that the modifying word makes us a different kind of Christian. This is the heresy if we let it in. So what's most important, our Christian identity or one of our other identifiers? For instance, I'm a Gentile to my Jewish friends, but that's not what defines me or who I am in Christ. I can never claim a descriptive adjective above my Christian identity. I am not a white Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be white. I'm not a Gentile Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be a Gentile. And I'm not a disciple of Christ Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be a member of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. These labels do not define my faith or yours. And many of the problems we face today come from defining ourselves or allowing others to define us first and foremost as an identity above being Christian. A modified Christian, if you will. As Christians, our identity is first and foremost as citizens of the household of God, and to see others as citizens of that same household. Our identity requires us not to define each other so we can build walls of hostility, but to allow the peace of Christ to tear down those walls. Other identities are fine, but not when we force our identity on others or others force their identity on us. Other identities cannot come before our identity as part of God's work through Christ in this world. And here's the really important part. Our common identity can be summed up in one word: church. Not the physical, literal building that we're in, but that church composed of the saints and the prophets that you heard in the scripture this morning in that foundation. Those who have come before us, as well as the community of believers we participate in now, and the saints and prophets yet to come. Church is Jew and Gentile, slave and free, man and woman, black and white, rich and poor, even Sooner and cowboy, sharing one common Christian identity. The household of God has many rooms. We are fed in those rooms by a Christ who is the bread for each person's own hunger. But what does all that mean? What does it mean to be a member of the household of God, a Christian, a part of a community of believers? How is our Christian identity shown to be greater than any other identity? Well, here's one example. When I was a boy, which is a long, long time ago, I was growing up on a farm in rural western Pennsylvania. I was a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. One of my heroes and one of the greatest players in the history of the game on that team was a man named Roberto Clemente. He wasn't just a great baseball player. He was a great human being, a humanitarian, and a Christian. He spent his life helping others. And in the end, he gave his life. On December 31st, 1972, in a plane crash while trying to ferry supplies to victims of an earthquake in Nicaragua. Some say baseball's last hero died that day. Roberto was a Christian. He was a Christian first, and one of the greatest baseball players of all time second. But he once said, "We must all live together and work together, no matter what race or nationality." And he stressed that every individual must do their part. And he said, if you have a chance to accomplish something that will make things better for people coming behind you, and you don't do that, you're wasting your time on earth. Now, that's very harsh. But in there, isn't that what our unity in Christ is about? We have the choice to make things better for the saints and the searchers of the future. We can accomplish something bigger than ourselves. We can live in the Holy Spirit. We are built together spiritually as one household of God, regardless of other identifiers. We have to continue building, or we're just wasting our time. Christianity is still the world's largest religion, has over 2.4 billion people in the world who claim the identity of Christian. Christianity speaks to all people everywhere. The message translates into every language, every culture, and every climate. Christianity is growing around the world, believe it or not, but not here, not among our mainline denominations at least, and we are a mainline denomination. We are in decline and have been for a long time. In the last 50 years, disciples have lost 75% of their membership in the U.S. and Canada. And as painful as that can be, it is a natural part of the life cycle of churches. Something new is coming. God has not stopped pursuing each and every one of us every day of our lives. The message of Jesus Christ is no less meaningful today than it was 2,000 years ago. We need religion in our lives, and we need Christ. So what comes next for us and for the Christian church? Well, nobody really knows. But some things can be assumed. Church of the future is going to look different. It looked different 100 years ago. You can be certain, however, that the church of the future will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the one certainty. The church of the future will be built on what we do today. Every baptism, every Sunday school lesson, every sermon, every song, every communion, and every offering builds for the future. In every circumstance, the future is being built, whether we see it or not. So we must continue. When the time comes for a church to close, I'm often part of that discussion because one of the things the foundation does is to allow closing churches to establish permanent endowments benefiting whatever mission or ministry that church was passionate about during its existence. And these funds generate annual distributions to those entities, and they preserve the name of the church and the ministry of that church, that closed church, forever. The future needs that money. The foundation exists to fund the future with the blessings of the past. And I don't know what the future church will look like. I don't know exactly how we will spread Christ's message. I don't know what worship will look like. What I do know is whatever that church looks like, it will need support. I also know that the one thing we can give for sure to the future is our support with our money. And the foundation is the vehicle to make that happen. We have managed endowment funds for the Oklahoma region for over 50 years. Some of our endowments name a specific beneficiary. Some of our endowments name a mission or ministry and go through the foundation's grant program. Just as an example, we have a donor who in 2018 established an endowment, actually two endowments, to honor his recently deceased wife. This couple had been members of two different Christian churches. The donor started each fund with around $10,000 and named each church as a beneficiary. The annual distributions from those funds are to be used for children and youth programs exclusively within those churches. The donor is added to the principal each year in a tax-advantaged way by donating appreciated securities. And those funds are now generating over $4,000 a year for those churches. And the great thing about that is that money will go on forever. Even if those churches close, that money will be redirected to similar ministries. But children and youth will benefit forever. That donor has funded the future. Similarly, we have donors who want to establish endowments for our grant program. These endowments generate distributions annually, which then go through our grant program and allow all of the churches in Oklahoma to apply for and receive grant funding. And they can apply for any variety of things, missions and ministries. And in fact, this church has applied for and received over $30,000 since 2018 from our grant program for many of the worthwhile missions and ministries that this church does. The foundation's grant program, since its inception, has funded over $350,000 of needs in Oklahoma. And these run the gamut from community feeding programs to schools for children in Peru, for summer camps, to senior ministries. God's work and will has and will be done. We're making things better for an unknown future. It's what church people do. We make things better for those who come after us. By being a part of this church, you're making things better too. By answering God's call on your life, you are setting yourself in that foundation of the temple that was talked about this morning in the scripture. You are part of the household of God. Your identity is first and foremost as a Christian, regardless of any other identity you may have. You are not an adjective Christian. By accepting others who are also Christians first, we are unified, even though those others may have identities different from our own. So whatever you do, whoever you are, live out your life in Christ, first as you are called to do. Make things better for those coming behind you. It's not just about us. It is about honoring those who have come before us by helping those who come after us. Be the best you can be, and above all, live in unity in Christ and with each other. Amen.